coming down to the 16th bowl. Catholic Boy is pulling away. He's so impressive today, the others didn't even have a prayer. Catholic Boy rolls in the run. Happy Travers.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pinnell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit leahcars.com. Leah Cars for life. And Woodbine Racetrack. Pick, bet, and cheer on world-class horse racing north of the border.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Wednesday morning, live from Clare Court, right in front of Clare Court on a Wednesday that, as I said at the end of the handicapping report, a little overcast, a little humid, but otherwise a fairly nice day up here at Saratoga after a really nice weekend. Day one, a little bit rainy, but boy, the rest of the weekend was gorgeous, and I think it's supposed to be nice, but a little bit hot and humid as we progress through this week. We'll see how it goes, but again, keeping our fingers crossed today. Weather-wise. Coming up a little bit later on the show, Justin Feliciano, the executive chef at Malcolm's. They're a sponsor here on the program, so we thought we would introduce you to their menu and give you some ideas for maybe post-race or off-day dining options. Malcolm's down in Schenectady. We'll talk about that towards the end of the show. Teresa Gennaro will come on with her weekly calendar of events. We'll give you the update on what's coming up in this upcoming week. Also, a tribute to Rick Violet. Pulled up the interview we did last year right after the Whitney when Diversify won. And again, the stakes race today is named after Rick. Boy, just left us too soon. Great guy. We had him sit here many times. And again, we'll replay that interview we did last year. But top of the show, they're back. Joe and Sean Clancy. Sean in this week from the Saratoga Special. Always fun to talk to the Clancys, not just about racing in general, but on these steeplechase days, to get some ideas on the jump side of things. Sean, good morning.
Good morning. Nice to be back.
And I mentioned Rick Violet, and I know you in the Saratoga Special certainly had the opportunity to go back and interview him and talk with Rick, and I think you probably agree with me. An important guy in the backstretch certainly will be missed.
Yeah, he was, you know, one thing about Rick, he was dedicated to our sport, and he worked hard for all of us. I mean, he was a trainer for one, but then also what he did with NYTHA and all the issues for the horsemen. He had your corner, he had your back. I always said, people, you could disagree with him, but I'd say to guys, I'm like, he's at the meetings. He's going to the meetings. The rest of us aren't going to the meetings. I mean, he went to every, I mean, he just was there tirelessly working for horse racing. And gone too soon. I mean, I watched the Whitney last year with him when Diversify won. It was just a special moment. Walked out of there with him, and he was sick, but you still didn't kind of, you thought he was going to be here forever. You just, you know, so to come back this year and not being here is just, it's just a hole in our sport that nobody could fill.
And appropriate early in the meet that there's a race named after him. So we take a few moments to remember him. As you say, an important guy on the backstretch. All right, I mentioned it already. You and your brother put together the Saratoga Special. I laughed during the handicappers report, and I said, for folks who are new to the game or aren't familiar, we all are, but it's like we have our own daily racing newspaper here on the racetrack.
Exactly.
It's great.
Exactly. We started in 2001, and I've been trying to bring the stories that you might not read anywhere else. Somebody asked me the other day about it, and I was like, you know, I walked up the stretch with Alan Jerkins after he won the Prioris. It was just the two of us, and those kind of moments. And I'm honored to do it. It's fun. This place is the best, and we're back again. It's great.
Remind people where they can pick up the special.
So anywhere around town, all around the racetrack, in bars, restaurants, Stewart's, everywhere around town locally. And then online, you can go to thisishorseracing.com. You can download PDF right there. It's very easy. And, we're going strong.
And that's a great picture of the cover right there, and a reminder that, yeah, you can pick it up online. That's still, what, for 2-3 years the online edition has been out there?
Yeah, we've done it for a while now, yeah, but it makes it real easy. I mean, we laugh. We were up here when we first came up here. There was no such thing. You know, we couldn't, you know, we were driving the paper on a disc to the printer. And now, guys, you know, people around the world can read it, which is just brilliant.
And again, you go to the website and you can pull up the edition every day and have a shot in here. I pulled it up last night of here and there the notes, which is always fun. That obviously coverage of big races and racing events and racing news, and your cup of coffee at the back of the newspaper is fun. But I think people look forward to here and there, the by the numbers, the license plates, the names of the day, and everybody wants to get in worth repeating.
Yeah, exactly. We started the here and there at Saratoga. That was the first issue we ever did, and I said to Joey, my brother, I was like, I got all these quotes that I've just been kind of collecting and stuff. What do you think we should do? And they're like, well, put them on the first page. We'll just, like, put them all there. And as we've done that from the first issue to now, and it's great fun. It's an easy way to kind of bring the life to the backstretch.
Like
an easy
EO
way to get into
there. He said, I've got nothing worth repeating. That's worth repeating right there.
Yeah, exactly. It's fun.
As I was putting this together and came in this morning, got out of my car, and I thought, oh, I should have gone back and looked at the first issue of the season. What's worth repeating, and what really the other notes in issue one every year? Do you go back as like classic?
Yeah, it should exactly.
Classic worth repeating.
Exactly. We have a long list of ones that we remember and stuff of all our great quotes over the years. My favorite here and there ever was just two Spanish guys back here, and they were going back and forth, and one guy said no way, and the other guy said sí way. That's my all-time classic. And I have friends of mine will every once in a while you'll say no way, and out of the blue they'll say sí way. And so yeah, that's how you take those kind of quotes. You wouldn't know what to do with them and put them there. So yeah, it's fun.
And I can't tell you how many times I've heard over the last few years, everybody wants to be in it now, and somebody will say something and somebody, oh, that's going to be in the special.
Yeah, it's funny. Sometimes somebody will say something, and I'll look, and they're like, no, you can't don't put that in there. I'm like, all right. But yeah, it's fun.
So started in 2001. You've already talked about it a little bit. Just how has it changed over the years? The technology clearly has changed.
Yeah, technology for sure. I mean, that's changed the most as far as just the. I mean, we literally drove. We put it on two discs. We had an afternoon disc and a later disc. You put it on the disc and drive it to the printer, then wait there and drive the papers home. Now, we obviously it's all internet based, and that part's great. It's created that, you know, the accessibility to really get out there. I mean, we spent a lot of, early on, you spent a lot of time and money and infrastructure just trying to disperse your product, which now you can kind of do that without a lot of hassle, which is nice. And somebody asked the other day, you know, what's really changed? And as far as the racing goes, it was all the little trainers. I mean, I remember coming up here when I was a kid, and then all the way through the first, you know, for almost 18 years, I guess now, used to be all these little trainers around 3, 4, 5, 6 horses, and that's changed a lot, which is kind of disappointing in a way, but that's changed a lot.
Speaking of trainers, and again, for most of our audience, I'm sure, is familiar with the special, but for folks who are new, and I'd like to address new people when I do the handicappers report and in this show. Because Saratoga draws so many people into the game. So if you aren't familiar with the special, you can pick it up on the racetrack. It's free, and a lot of great information every day. One of the things you've had over the past couple of years, though, that is a lot of fun, the barn tours.
Yeah, that's a really fun project. It's sponsored by Fasig Tipton, so we call it the Fasig Tipton Stable Tour. We just go to trainers' barns and ideally just walk the shed row with them and talk about each horse, and it's really fun. You'll get some great there's some good information in there. You have to wade through it a little bit. I'm usually horse will win, and somebody will say, I'll get a text or a tweet, or say, hey, that Stable Tour has done it again. I look, oh man, I forgot that Jimmy Toner said that he gave did a wind surgery on this filly, and she's training better. You're like, I missed it, but it's a fun way to try to get different people in the paper and look at different horses, and fun way to kind of follow horses. And you know, like I've done the Stable Tour with Bill Mott over the last probably 4 or 5 years, and to walk down his shed row, we do it kind of late morning, usually late in the meet. And it's just a special, really special moment just to see those kind of horses and have him talking about them. So it's fun.
certainly worth checking out. If you haven't picked up the paper yet, by all means, do it. And as they say, it's free around town. But I noted, and I told you, I joined. You've got the Reader's Club this year, which you tout as, you know, support independent journalism. And as a guy who for years has done a horse racing website, I know you got to go out and knock on doors and try to get advertising. That's tough to do, and you've got plenty of good, loyal advertisers, but it certainly helps if people want to jump in and become a member of the Reader's Club. They can, as you say, help support independent journalism.
Yeah, exactly. My brother came up with this. The last two are great. Invitations to special events we haven't scheduled yet, and other benefits we're still dreaming up. And actually, a friend of ours, she joined, and she said, God, I wish I would have thought of those last two things when I was in marketing. So, yeah, it's fun. It's an easy way to kind of support us and join, be part of the team. I look back at, you know, I thought back at 2001 when we started, and you had these loyal readers that, I remember the first year we were listing people who were kind of reading and subscribing, and one of the big publishers / editors in horse racing, he kind of scoffed at us. He's like, why are you listing your readers? I mean, there's so few of them. What are you doing with those, and what's going on? And I was like, man, I thought it was kind of a fun way to do it. It was very... I have to say, he's no longer in the game. So, we've kind of done it with Grassroots, and it's been really fun. I mean, I look back at our great supporters from the beginning, a lot of trainers and owners, and it's been a great ride, and really appreciate all the supporters over the years.
Yeah, and again, if you appreciate the coverage, and as I said, I jumped on board, you can join the Reader's Club, go to the website to do that. Another great part of the newspaper, and I want to touch on a couple other things before we move on to the racing. The handicapping section, which over the years has been very lucrative for folks, and particularly if you follow John Sherpasian, your man who has been the top handicapper here at least a couple of times in recent years. I noted off to a pretty good start so far again this year, but folks can check out. You have three or four handicappers, but Sherpasian certainly, as they say, over the last few years, doing very, very well.
Yeah, he's strong. He gives out a lot of winners. We always laugh. We're like, man, I didn't have any winners. Like, why don't we just petting John's picks? You know, let's just take his. But no, he's great. Good guy and a good handicapper.
I got to get him in, though. He's really reluctant. He's like, I'm not a TV guy. Right. Said, you just give out a couple of picks because he's so hot. I'd love to have him in some morning and just pick his brain a little bit. And before we move on, also want to tout see up in the press box the Saratoga Special. Interns are down there again this year and every year. You bring in a new group and some holdovers from previous years, but talk a little bit about over the years the folks who have come through the Saratoga Special pipeline. I mean, two that jump out right out, Gabby Gaudette and Travis Stone.
Yeah, for sure. It's that's been a very rewarding part of it. I mean, I never would have thought that we could have given those kind of kids opportunities in our sport. And it's just been almost 20 years now that I look back. I mean, Travis Stone still just cracks me up. He sent me an email, said he's a college kid from Scroon Lake and found the paper in the ground of the picnic area at the end of the day. And he said, all I want to do is I want to be a racetrack announcer. And I don't know anybody in the sport. How do I get into the sport? And I said, well, you got to come work for the special the next summer. So he did. And obviously, he's... sky's the limit for him. And Gabby Gaudette, Pete Fornatel, Brian Natto, John Panagot, Jim Mulvihill, Quint Kesenick was one of the first. They're just one after another. And I hate to start listing them because it's hard to list them all. But it's been a very rewarding part of it that we can give people who, like John Panagot was a kid and he's in college and loved horse racing and didn't know how to get involved. And, you know, that's what we need to do in this sport. We need to get those guys. You have to have some kind of net to catch people who actually want to be involved in horse racing, especially young college kid that likes the game. I remember he sent me an email and said, I want to be a jocks agent. And I remember saying, oh, you can do better than being a jocks agent. And sure enough, now he's Javier Castellanos' jocks agent, making way more money than a newspaper publisher that told him to come up with something better. But no, that part's great. It's been really, really, really It's rewarding. It's just nice to see.
Check out the masthead and the bylines on some of the articles for the interns. They could be future stars in the sport. Exactly. Various things. I mean, Travis is an announcer. Gabby on TV. Panagot, Jock's agent. They cover the gamut, but they came through the Saratoga special. All right, let's jump in. Again, one of the reasons we'll have you guys on, you and Joe, during the meet is to talk a little steeplechase. And we kick off the steeplechase season. And for folks who don't know, Sean, a former steeplechase jockey. Miss it?
Do I miss it? It took me a little while to figure it out. I miss it like college. I look back and go, college was great. It was great 4 years of my life. I really enjoyed it, but I don't want to go back. You know what I mean? It's a segment of your life. That's perfectly like fine that. Where it is.
That's very good. All right, the opener today, an allowance non-winners of two lifetime. While we talk, I'm going to pull up that race from Parks. We're going to watch Markin win, the number 10 horse here. Wins pretty easily in an event that you would think would tighten the horse up for the race this afternoon. I went with the number 3 Markin on top, Whitman's Poetry in the third spot. And my man Shepard, I thought Zeppelin Ride could be a little bit interesting at a price. But what were your thoughts on the opener?
Yeah, I wish I had something creative. And I looked at it as much as I could and tried to come up with something more creative than Markin. But he, if you can watch in that race, he won in hand. He's an impressive horse. He came over from Ireland, won his first start, which if you look for good formful races in steeplechasing, you look at PW, which is an abbreviation for Percy Warner, which is the Iroquois steeplechase. Anything coming out of those races are live. The maiden winner there has always gone on to be a good horse, Good Night Shirt. And horses like that. So really, really good horse. Davey Russell, who's an international icon as far as riding goes, comes over to ride the horse. He won on him at Nashville. Davey Russell's one of the last two English Grand Nationals and countless races at Cheltenham. So he's tough. A little cut in the ground now with the rain won't hurt. I think he's hard to go against. I was going to use Sight probably in second just because of Jack Fisher factor. I rode for Jack Fisher and there were horses that would just come in and out of form, and you never really knew why or how. So his horses always run well. He's got some old ability, flat form from Bill Mott back in the day. I mean, ran up, if you're a numbers guy, ran 85 buyer one time. So Whitman's Poetry's live too, nice horse, same thing, Jack Fisher. And if you're going for a long shot, yeah, Zeppelin Ride's not a bad pick just because Shepard, he's had a little bit of bad luck lately, but he isn't a bad horse. That's a bomb in there. But it's a tricky race to bet. Renown comes out, a scratch Renown, which that hurts too. I mean, he would have been live in there, and he could have probably used him in there, but he scratched. So, yeah, pretty formful, probably Markin on top.
I pulled up the standings. You mentioned Jack Fisher. I pulled up the steeplechase standings so far this year, and Jack Fisher on top with races won and money won. By Shepard sitting second in both categories, though, but Fisher well ahead.
Yeah, Jack's just dominated this year. I think he's won 24 races already this year, which would win you a title for sometimes that'll win you the yearly title. So his horses are alive. He's got a great barn full of good horses.
Well ahead on the money tally, too. 800,000 versus Shepard, just under a couple hundred thousand. And let's just talk a little steeplechase season overall. I pulled up last year's New York Turf Riders. We're going to watch Optimus Prime win. He was a finalist for the Eclipse Award last year. Looks like he's lining up for our first stake of the season. And you would have to think, I was kind of looking, and given that he was a finalist for the Eclipse Award last year, there are a couple of horses who have maybe more wins so far this year, but I think that, again, that he was an Eclipse Award finalist last year. I would think, given what he's done so far in a couple of starts this year, Optimus Prime maybe comes into that stakes race in a week or so. As top of the class, or certainly on the verge of moving to the top of the class?
Yeah, he's certainly on the top of the Saratoga class. There's a few horses that are skipping the summer and more of a hunt meet type horse going 2 5/8, those kind of races a little bit longer. But he's the best horse you'll see in Saratoga over jumps this year. He's lined up for the AP Smithwick next week. 15 horses nominated to the AP Smithwick, which is cool. It's a first grade one next Thursday. But, yeah, he's a standout. He ran in the other division of that Parks Flat race. And if you thought Markin was impressive, Optimus Prime was even more impressive. He won more on the bridle, easier. Real racetrack horse. course, loves it here. And yeah, he's nailed on next week.
We'll look for him in the Smith. We'll talk a little bit about that with you guys, you or Joe, next week. You get Sean and or Joe Clancy visiting us on a weekly basis, but you can catch him on a daily basis reading the Saratoga Special. Pick it up over on the front side or check it out online as well. Sean, appreciate the visit.
Good to be here.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll a little tribute to Rick Violette. Again, on a day a race is named after him and his memory. Stay tuned. Racing Across America will continue.
You like free money? Well, Capital OTB gives its players plenty of opportunities to cash in. At Capital OTB, there are so many ways for horse players to receive bonus dollars by simply participating in promotions such as our bankrolls, bounty bets, online handicapping contests, and much, much more. Plus, with Capital OTB's player rewards program, you get actual cash back. So what are you waiting for? Log on today at CapitalOTB.com or CapitalOTBBet.com and claim your free money.
Racing Across America. Go, 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 I heard in my ear as I was looking off stage. Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, we are going to go back to last year. The day after, almost exactly a year ago, the day after the Whitney, Steve Bick and I and Loose on the Lead invited Rick Violette in to talk about the win from Diversify. I thought it'd be appropriate. The second race today is named after Rick. And again, talking with Sean and earlier on the handicapper support, certainly miss Rick Violette. Great guy, had him here at the desk many times. Great trainer, certainly an advocate for the horses and the horsemen, and will be sorely missed. So again, on a day that we're taking time to remember Rick Violette, thought we'd tee up this piece for last year. Big win. And don't forget, it was an unusual situation where rain and weather came into the area. The horses were in the paddock already saddled up. They delayed the start for a long time. It was a very unusual situation. In those kind of situations, you don't know mentally how the horses will handle it. Will Diversify handle it very well? So up next, Rick Violette after last year's big win in the Grade 1 Whitney.
Ralph Evans, what a great addition to the trophy case, not just for him, but for you, Rick. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. It was a pretty cool day.
There was some, obviously, you know, there was some tumult and the delay. Different horses have to deal with that. They never unsaddled. They didn't.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about the atmosphere coming in. We'll talk about the backstory and even the decision to run in a minute, but talk about kind of a surreal setting.
It was actually from beginning to end. I mean, from getting saddled up to the delay, the black sky, the thunder, the lightning, all the way to the rainbow after the winter ceremony. So it was very surreal.
The track, the decision.
Is that correct English, Teresa? Very surreal.
English
is that a
teacher.
Phrase?
It works. The decision, obviously, by Glenn Kozak to seal the track, I mean, they knew that the storm was coming. And when the sealing of the track occurred, to a lot of degree, benefited you, no?
No doubt. The biggest thing I was concerned, I thought the inside of the racetrack was not as fast as the outside. And speed wasn't being favored at all. I mean, even the test that raced before, you know, Klarovich was resolute in the middle of the racetrack to get up, and it seemed that five or six path up the lane was the best place to be. So we were concerned about it when they announced that they were sealing it and then the rains came, everybody was frustrated with the delay, but I really thought that kind of leveled the playing field a little bit.
What do you do with the delay? I'm just curious, the nuts and bolts, because this is an unusual situation, and we always talk about these horses as being creatures of habit. So how do you handle that and monitor them in a situation like that?
You know, everybody is a little bit different. If they're standing still in the stall just kind of like propped up on one hind leg and chilled out, that's the best case scenario. We went from there to he started kicking the walls, so you try to move them. It's a little claustrophobic in there with horses going almost hip to hip, passing each other in there, and the people trying to get out of the rain. Diversify can get pretty violent kicking. I mean, he's like a piston. It could be lethal. And there was one gentleman that almost got hurt. So we tried to avoid getting people hurt, getting him hurt, because he was nailing the stall. He's making a lot of noise a lot of times. So we'd go outside and walk around the tree, and he worried about, we had the tack on for an hour. And so that was frustrating. And then they go through kind of some chemical, biological transformation. You get the tack on, they get the adrenaline going, the endorphins get flowing, get a little wet. And then the longer you go, that kind of gets turned off. And some horses don't rehabilitate. All of a sudden, they don't flip the switch back on 20 minutes later and start this all over. And you don't know what's going to happen until it happens. And fortunately, the switch went back on, and we handled it pretty well.
Should we jump in and take a look at the replay? We'll pick it up. We're going to watch the entire replay here. So just kind of take us through as we open the gate and go around the track. I was standing in the winner's circle, and probably the end of the backstretch, as he kind of opened up an extra length, I said, oh, this one's over. But gets a great break here and clearly goes to the lead.
That was very cool. The break was critical. We knew we were going to get some pressure from Dalmore. And we thought we'd try to, not get into a head-and-head situation for sure. That wouldn't have helped anybody. But when he beat the latch and cleared the field, I was pretty comfortable. And 23 and change for him is a nice rhythmical pace for him. What's happened is certainly the last two races, the Suburban and yesterday's Whitney, I think he's gotten braver and more comfortable, and certainly made us more comfortable that a half and 46, even going a mile and a quarter, is not that big of a deal for him. And that high cruising speed, it stretches everybody's run.
That when the 46 came up, and in this section, when he actually, without being asked, when he extends this lead to about a half a dozen lengths, I thought the race was over then. Because everybody else is hamstrung now. Look at him. Look at him asking.
And that was a bit of the same way in the Suburban. Actually, the half and 46 bothered me, but the 9 and change didn't, because everybody was off the bridle. Now they were trying to stay in the race, and that diminishes their late kick. They're using fuel that they'd rather be sitting chilly on and trying to explode up the lane. I thought, Ira was very aggressive around the turn to give him as much space. And then here, the first couple of times he hits him, he actually adds another length or two to it. And I thought it was over here. Mining Biscuits was coming, but he started to grind here. He wasn't really coming. He was grinding, and I thought we were fairly safe at this point.
He's kind of upright, too.
It's not as if he leveled off
and finished. His
action stayed very clean and pretty efficient. So he's a very, very good horse.
And as clearly, as you indicated with your decision even to run, I noted that for the first time in his career, he was running a fourth time without a layoff line.
Yeah.
And that 59 and change work that Mike Welsh lauded, basically saying no ill effects from the Suburban, you sort of connected the dots and said, they're doing the right thing here.
Yeah. Well, I was certainly, he kept convincing me we were doing the right thing. I mean, trained well, shipped up here well, ate well, was moving great. The breeze was actually a throttled down breeze. He'd gone off at almost 24, and the exercise rider chirped him a little bit and went in 46 and 3, and we had him on the walkie-talkie, and I kind of said, whoa, whoa, whoa. And so he was kind of eased up going 59. So came out of that great. His blood was terrific, and he kind of said, come on, chicken, enter me,
Explain to everybody, Rick, because there isn't a horseman alive that hasn't been fooled into running in a spot because the appearance is that the horse is doing good and has come out of a race. Can you identify the nuance that says, I don't think that, you know, what would he have had to have shown you to not run?
I mean, they can fool you. Sometimes that fast breeze is them maybe a little over the top and on edge and a little fidgety, and they go fast, but it's not a genuine fast. It's more of an erratic. And that's the decision. You know, you're trying to filter through that. He had done everything else so well. That, you know, his gallop the couple of days after his breeze was awesome. You know, his appetite stayed the same. There was no variations. We weren't trying to fit a square peg in a round hole here. The fit was just right, and he kept convincing me that it was the right thing to do. I mean, I really didn't talk jockeys until entry day. I mean, I didn't want to mess up anybody and let them think they we were going and not do it, you know. And actually, people were gracious enough. You know, Chad was kind enough to let Irad off of Backyard Heaven and to get Castellano and Ron Pellucci a lot of times he can stir up things. He was nice enough to let Castellano get off of his horse to go to Chad. And so sometimes there is some very beneath the surface sportsmanship, and everybody kind of was happy with where they were after the draw.
Give us another glance into his maturity, because, you know, we think of fully mature horses at age five. He's a gelding. He was gelded in 2016.
Right.
But he is now a mature horse. How has he changed in your view with the full flower of being a five-year-old?
He's always been, up until this year, a bit of a baby. I mean, in that he would notice everything. He would react to things. I mean, not stupidly, but, you know, he'd see a bird flying and it catches, right, or you know, a horse on the racetrack, or just very inquisitive, but kind of a little bit of an immature brain at times. And this year he stepped up, like I said, you know, as he's gained confidence and certainly using his early speed, he's given us our confidence to let him do it. And I think the last couple of races we stopped getting in his way.
I want to go back to the Charlestown race, because that's a fluky kind of mental thing that you've talked about, and we talk about them being creatures of habit, and it's such an aberration on the page. And you would think, given that bull ring and the three turns, the speed would play out. But you said, he, as a creature of habit, a three-turn race, he got past the two turns and thought his job was done.
You know, I really think, you know, nobody believed me, but, you know, he went his two turns. And I think just the wind came out of his sail a little bit. I think it spooked Irad a little bit coming off the layoff. He got, you know, have a little injury at Churchill. So I think being a little protective, he wasn't going to force the issue. But when he realized that he really was just pulling up and he needed a kick in the butt and not a pat in the neck. So we certainly learned from that. And, you know, creature of habit, whatever, he counted to two and said enough's enough.
$60,000 question. What's next?
Again, I opened my mouth too soon last time. I really doubt we would do the Woodward. I think we would look at the Gold Cup. Gives us 8 weeks. He's come off three, you know, very, very good performances. And I think this is one of the times where you have to maybe even discount. If he's looking great, kicking the walls, you're supposed to discount it. Discretion, better part of valor here, and wait for the Gold Cup. Although I would love to win the Woodward, we're not going to, because it's one of those legacy races. You know, he's won the Suburban, now the Gold Cup, the Whitney. Adding the Woodward to that shelf, it'd be pretty cool.
Well, he puts himself in unique company with these three wins, and at the same time, for you and for Ralph Evans. I mean, talk about the satisfaction of delivering a horse like this, a horse that is going to be around. I mean, this is clearly a horse that's only hitting his best stride now, and really, you know, at a fulfilled portion of his career. So to have this for you and Ralph Evans, there's got to be tremendous satisfaction. You guys have been together 20 years?
25 years, I believe.
Years.
Yeah, it's he's very, very special. person. The family is special. There's never any second guessing. There's always turn the page. It's thrilling. You know, when we had Upstart, he did grab me by the elbow one day. He said, you know, you're kind of spoiling me here. I'm liking these big dances. And we were fortunate enough to kind of tumble into Diversify and keep the dance card going.
You started March Magic?
Yep. Yeah, that was our second. We had a horse called Free of Love.
Free of Love?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
In Westchester.
Got
beat a lip in the Jim Dandy here. The only year it was a grade one. Scorpion beat us. The last bob at the wire, that was a killer.
There's an obscure exact from Saratoga history.
Neither one of them was worth a damn after that either, I don't think. But, they've been great clients. March Mack was a very, very nice filly. She made about $700,000.
Molly Pitcher,
exactly. Yeah.
I want to toss in also because it was a New York bred exactly. You're a longtime New York guy. What's the feeling of kind of elevating the New York bred program? Because again, it's so important to New York racing in general. A lot of the cards are filled with the New York breds. So to have the New York breds kind of step out and run 1-2 and Diversify doing as well as he's done now, an open grade one company, that's got to feel good.
You know, there's no ceiling any longer. There's no glass ceiling or any ceiling. New York is capable of breeding very, very good horses and certainly top of the class. I actually chuckled a little bit. There was some of the commentators saying this might be the weakest Whitney in years and everything, and I had three grade one winners, and I actually like to go and look at all the grade ones across the country and see how many grade one winners were in those races. Even Gunrunner was a freak of a horse, and it was a great horse, but I think he was the only grade one winner in last year's Whitney. So I think sometimes it's a backhand compliment because the two New York horses were New York Reds were the two stars of the race, and somehow in some people's eyes it diminishes it. And I think anybody with a real knowledge of things realizes that it does anything but that.
A couple are very special. Yeah. Again, fun to take a few minutes to remember Rick Violette on one of his biggest victories, obviously, the grade one Whitney with the New York bred Diversify, that from about a year ago, loose on the lead. And today's second race, stakes race, is the Rick Violette, taking a little time to remember the late great trainer Rick Violette. All right, we'll head to a break. When we come back, weekly calendar of events. Teresa Gennaro is in the house, and we'll go over what you can look forward to over the next few days here in Saratoga. Stay tuned.
Looking for a fantastic meal? Stop by Malcolm's, a unique farm-to-table restaurant experience. Located at 617 Union Street in Schenectady, Malcolm's offers locally grown fresh foods, mouth-watering flavors, an enhanced drink menu, and terrific service. Malcolm's is a sure bet during Saratoga season. Make your reservation today.
In a recent study of some of the top online wagering sites, Capital OTB won big in total player rewards, far surpassing some of the best-known wagering sites in America. While other rewards programs simply offer you points redeemable for gift cards, Capital OTB's rebates are paid to you in actual cash. Plus, Capital OTB gives you full and immediate access to your money. So if all you're getting now are points and gift cards, join Capital OTB Player Rewards today and get cash back. Visit CapitalOTBBet.com and sign up today.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Welcome back. Racing Across America kicking off week number two here at Saratoga Wednesday, live from the backstretch. And as promised before the break, joined now by our friend Teresa Gennaro. Calendar of events will tee up what is coming up in the week ahead. Good morning.
I like that, tee up.
Tee up. And we were talking during the commercial, you were in the winner's circle, and somebody said you had tweeted out that you were avoiding accidents, trying to make it for T-Loves a fight a couple of days ago, getting into the winner's circle.
I was on the beach in Massachusetts celebrating a friend's birthday, and I thought I was going to miss it. And I realized as I was getting closer that I might get there. And I really, like, there was some poor pedestrian crossing Union Avenue who was against the light. I was like, you are tempting fate, my friend. I literally got into the winner's circle to watch the race at 0 minutes to post. But, you know, it was all worth it. He won again, 3 in a row for his new trainer. Couldn't be happier.
T loves a fight. Yeah. And speaking of T and fighting, and not, although I guess maybe not so much of a fight, but I don't know whether I asked you last week when you were in here, how'd the school year go?
It was
Teresa,
great.
Most of the year, teacher slash racing journalist up here, obviously summer vacation, but how'd the year go?
It was great. I had three great classes full of kids. I teach 11th and 12th grade English in Brooklyn. A lot of fun.
My sister retired now, but taught first grade for many years. Could you handle first graders?
Oh, my God, no. Oh, no, 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 no. I think the lowest I've gone is 8th grade. And I think middle school's kind of cool, but the like all day with the little ones, I don't think so.
She was great, but I'm with you. I'd be like,
it takes.
By the end of the day, I'd be
a special person to do that.
All right, let's take a look at the upcoming calendar. Oh, before we do, we just did our little tribute to Rick Violette, and so I know you certainly knew Rick and knew Rick well. Give us some of your Rick Violette thoughts, because, again, we've talked about it already, not just a great trainer, but a guy who was concerned about the backstretch and the horses and the people back there and the trainers and whatnot, and will be missed.
He will really be missed, and I mean, when I first started really paying attention to racing, he was so prominent. And I loved watching his horses win. But even more than that, I mean, as you know, I was diagnosed with cancer a couple of years ago, and thank God doing okay now. But through the year that I was going through some pretty intense treatment, Rick, who obviously was going through similar and had been through similar, texted me or emailed me pretty regularly just to check in and say, thinking about you, how's it going? The depth of his unselfishness was really staggering given everything else that he had on his plate. So he was a great horseman, a terrific spokesperson for the industry, and just a terrific human being.
Yeah, and appropriately, today's stakes race named after Rick. All right, let's move on to the calendar coming up. Again, the Rick Violette stakes race today. Also today, Saratoga visit day at NYRA, which is going to be interesting because NYRA is going to have a booth that will kind of lay out other attractions in the area people can visit. With the 2 days off, that's a great idea.
Right, right. And I don't know if that's what the impetus for this was. For several years now, the New York Racing Association has had these kind of weekly features in what's called the Saratoga Pavilion, which is behind the grandstand toward the top of the stretch. And today they're doing Saratoga Visit Day, so there'll be a number of institutions and organizations from in and around Saratoga represented, like the Tang Museum up at Skidmore, which is an amazing facility, the Automobile Museum, obviously the Racing Museum and Hall of Fame across the street, the Saratoga Arts District, the Performing Arts Center, the State Park, the Saratoga History Museum. So if you're new to the area and you'd like to learn a little bit about what goes on outside the racetrack, this is a great opportunity.
And again, that's the pavilion, and it's worth reminding people where that is. It's kind of out and back, down. If you were on the front side, you'd be towards the top of the stretch,
yep.
And you won't miss it. It's a big tent. The Coca-Cola Saratoga Pavilion is where you can go. Also today, you and I were talking about the event at the museum, a couple of events for kids coming up. Speaking of small kids, a couple of events coming up. When you named this one, I had read the calendar, and it didn't catch me until you say it out loud. But at the Racing Museum, and that's today, Backstretch Babies.
So for your toddlers, if you want to get them into the horses when they're still young, here is your opportunity. It's for children 2 years old and younger. It's every Wednesday morning from 10 to 11, and they'll be...
And this week right too late, but it's an ongoing thing.
Yes, unless you want to rush right over. Got a few minutes. It's every week. And there are activities and story time and just an opportunity for little kids to go over to the museum, dip their toes into horse racing. And it's free for children with paid adult admission.
You said rush right over. Something tells me the two-year-old, nobody's rushing anyway.
That is a good point. That's a good point.
Tomorrow, this is going to be a lot of fun because we touted it last week as one of those that we don't talk about enough. I don't know whether we normally, because it's an ongoing event every day, But we mentioned the breakfast last week to kind of tee people up to remember that. Well, tomorrow you can go over. It's going to benefit Best, so it's got a great cause, and they're going to honor Tom Durkin tomorrow, breakfast at the track.
Yeah, Best is Backstretch Employees Service Team, and they provide a variety of services to people who work on the backstretch: mental health counseling, substance abuse counseling, physical health counseling, and services. And so they're celebrating their 30th anniversary this year. Tom Durkin has been a big part of the organization for a long, long time. And so for $50, you get a breakfast buffet, a cash bar, get to hear from Mr. Durkin, and you get to know that your money is going to support a really good cause.
And again, if you've never been to breakfast at the racetrack, certainly worth the visit. Sponsored, I noted that they put out a press release by CDTA. They sponsor the tram tours. We mentioned that last week, too.
Yep.
If you come over and enjoy breakfast, you can also take a tour of the backstretch. And I think, you know, we take it for granted, but most people don't get back here. We're back here with the TV set. You're back kind of doing some of the interviewing and whatnot. And so we are all exposed to it on, like, a daily basis. And as they say, it's easy for us to take for granted. But if you're a fan, chances are you're pretty only familiar with the front side. But come to the breakfast and you get to see what you only see from afar.
And it's really spectacular. I mean, I haven't certainly been to every backstretch in the U.S., but the ones that I've been to, there are very few that come close to the beauty of this one.
And our set is back here, and a lot of days I will finish television and just kind of sit back here and work for a couple hours. It's quiet, the horses are walking by, and very nice setting. So again, keep that in mind for a breakfast visit as well. Mentioned this last week in kind of looking forward, but do want to note that the Women in Racing exhibit opens this Saturday at the National Museum of Racing and Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and I don't know much about it. Their kind of grand opening is on Saturday, honoring through art and other types of visual representations the role that women have played in racing. So really looking forward to it. There are a lot of women that we've both heard of and not heard of, who have contributed a lot to the sport, and I think this is a great opportunity. I'm thrilled that the museum's doing it.
And we kind of teed up this perhaps when we mentioned the tram tours, but for folks who want to get a little bit more of a behind-the-scenes look at the racetrack, and I think if you are a fan and you've only been on the front side, I think there are a lot of people who are curious about some of the nooks and crannies and the behind-the-scenes. There's a behind-the-scenes tour coming up on Saturday.
Yes, and this is hosted by the Saratoga Springs Preservation Foundation, which is a terrific local organization that has often worked closely with the people of the New York Racing Association to preserve the historical nature of the track while at the same time making necessary upgrades. If you're interested in the architecture in Saratoga, you'll also see that they are active in helping to preserve the architectural integrity of the town. So for their members, they are sponsoring a behind-the-scenes tour with Samantha Bossart, who is the executive director of the Preservation Foundation, and Matt Herf. He's part of the architectural firm, Herf Frost Architects, which I believe you have some connections.
Yes.
Over there, it's your nephew.
Yes.
Matt Herf is also the person who designed the stretch, the new hospitality area at the top of the stretch in the grandstand. So it's a great opportunity. Again, you'll have a terrific time, and because you have to be a member, you will also be supporting a really important organization in Saratoga. It's $25, and call and make reservations.
I want to go back to the museum for a moment, too, of Saturday, because they have Saturday morning socials. Our man Tom Amello is going to be over there doing some handicapping on Saturday morning, so that's worth keeping in mind as well.
Yeah, absolutely, every Saturday morning. The museum is really doing a lot this year. Every week they have a variety of events, and you can pop over there every Saturday.
Also want to remind people, last year they did the upgrade to the playground? And so for folks who are coming to the track with kids, again, that's kind of out by that pavilion tent as well, out in the backyard. And as you can see here, nice fun little playground. So you've had the kids, take them back there. There are betting booths and TVs nearby, so you can get over and make your wager and kind of keep your eyes on the races as well as keeping your eyes on the kids. But this ties into Sundays, Family Fun Sundays, up here at the track as well.
Yep, that's sponsored by Berkshire Bank, and lots of activities planned for kids. It is also a smoke and alcohol-free zone. So yes, you can bet, but you cannot engage in some other adult activities while you're there. But there's attractions and games.
Well.
And, yeah.
And finally, I want to mention, because we talked about this a little bit last week too, but with it right around the corner, I want to remind people, old friends at Cabin Creek, Zippy Chippy Day comes up.
Yeah. I mean, you have, I think, your own stories about Zippy Chippy. You went to see his last race, I think that's
Northampton,
right.
Northampton, where he went off. I don't know whether he eventually went off, but for the longest time in the betting, he was the favorite.
Yeah.
I think everyone wanted a souvenir ticket. I took him about five of them.
Yeah. I mean, he lost, I think it's 100 races.
100, yeah.
The lovable loser. He's had books written about him, but he's made his home now at Old Friends at Cabin Creek for pretty close to 10 years, I think. And this year, hard to believe, it's the 10th anniversary of the Bobby Frankel division of Old Friends, the Sanctuary Farm. Lots of old favorites up there, including commentator, who twice won the Whitney, and he also won the MassCap. So it's a great place. They do tours every Tuesday. There's a food truck from the Adelphi selling food. It's just, again, a wonderful organization to support here in Saratoga.
And Zippy Chippy Day is this Tuesday.
This Tuesday, yeah.
So you can check it out online as well. Teresa, as always, appreciate the visit. We will look forward to next week's calendar and hopefully jump in and take advantage of some of the events this week. But again, always appreciate the time.
A pleasure.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, as I say, one of our sponsors, Malcolm's down in Schenectady. If you want an idea post-race or off-day dining, Malcolm's is something to keep in mind. We'll talk with their executive chef, Justin Feliciano, right after this. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Birdstone is an outside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB, become a better horse player.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, one of our sponsors, Malcolm's, down in Schenectady. Great place to swing by for a dining option. Joined now by the executive chef, Justin Feliciano. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you. Before we get into Malcolm's specifically, talk about a little bit about your background. What's your food background?
So I traditionally French, traditional American cuisine. I've worked all over the area. So Salt and Char, Delphi Hotel is kind of part of the opening team of those places. Did about 3 years from a zone and then just kind of bounced around. And then I did about a year and a half in New York City working for Daniel Boulud.
Nice.
So a lot of French cooking.
So now you're down at Malcolm's. Give us the schedule for Malcolm's, the days, the hours.
So we're open Wednesday through Sunday. Wednesday through Friday, we're open lunch and dinner. Lunch goes from about 12 to 2:30, and then dinner 5 until kind of business dictates. And then on the weekends, we do brunch and dinner. Brunch opens at 11, goes until 3, and then dinner 5 until business dictates.
Very good. So folks can certainly make it down post-racetrack on those days and catch a little dinner if they would like to. Malcolm's, the menu, just give us a kind of, before we talk specifically, give us a little overview of the menu.
So it's very local farm-to-table. We work with a lot of local farms, Roxbury Farms out in the Hudson area, Barber's Farms in Schoharie County. We work with Lover Leap's Farm, Highland Hollow Farms, a lot of local products. We want to, you know, highlight what the Capital Region and New York has to offer.
So does that mean seasonally things will change up a little bit?
Menu changes, roughly little pieces of it every week. You know, we might get something different from the farm this week than what we had last week, so we'll change it. So it kind of, we get a delivery every Tuesday from the farms, and that kind of dictates what's the next week menu going to be.
And why don't we roll through some of these pictures? We've been seeing some of them so far, but just give us a little idea what we're looking at.
So that picture, the grilled cabbage dish there, it's a Roxbury Farm cabbage. They put, you know, they delivered it to us Tuesday with their fresh herbs that they also delivered to us. They give us fresh onions. They're not dried like you see in the grocery store where they have the shell on them. And we use that as well. It has some pickled mustard seeds and tahini and herb dressing. And we kind of, you know, we don't try to do too much of it. And we try to highlight what the farm gives us.
Well, that looks familiar.
Yep. So that's the BLT sandwich. We just got tomatoes from Hilltop Acres. First tomatoes of the season. Local, I believe those are barber's potatoes, French fries, the bread is from Pareca's, so we try to stay as local as possible. Every morning we go to Pareca's, we'll get the bread for the BLT.
And again, there we go.
Yep, there goes that's the charred peas and carrots. That one comes with, we make our own stracciatella cheese in-house, which is basically what's inside the burrata cheese. We'll make that, and then we get the Roxbury Farms, gave us some peas and carrots. That's a fresh-made pasta that we make every morning.
That looks good.
With Cornell Farm eggs and Buckley Farm eggs, depending which ones we have that week. It's just kind of a cheese and pepper sauce, cacio e pepe, traditional Roman dish.
That is right in my wheelhouse.
And then we have an addition of truffles. And then this is our summer salad, which just utilizes all the fresh things that the farm gives us. They just delivered raspberry, so it's going to change to raspberry vinaigrette.
Nice. Yeah.
And then this is Hilltop Acres tomatoes, just the tomatoes, burrata cheese, a really nice olive oil, and then basil from Roxbury Farms as well.
And again, fresh and fresh local ingredients. Oh, what do we have here?
So this is the scallop crudo. It's raw
scallop
with a jalapeno agua chili. So it's grilled jalapenos that we got from the farm with lime juice, orange juice, and then it has avocados that have been marinated in simple syrup. Those are the summer squash that we're getting. We're getting a lot of summer squash in, so we decided
that
to just do
too.
Summer squash.
I'm in.
Awesome.
And fairly new at Malcolm's,
yes,
correct?
Yes, we just hit,
wait, before we move on, because looks good as well.
That is the duck breast. We get the duck breast out of Long Island from Crescent Farms, and then we have Swiss chard and beets off to the side, which are from Roxbury Farms as well.
As I say, you're relatively new down there. Have you put a Feliciano twist on the menu yet?
Slightly. Some things have changed. I changed majority of the menu, but you know, it's still to the ethos of the restaurant, which is farm and local. It changes every week based off of what we get, and then the team comes in, and we all kind of collaborate and build the menu together.
And I know I had a television production company for years, and we did a restaurant review show, so we would go in the back and watch the work in the kitchen a lot, and I know it's a team effort, so give a little shout-out to the team.
Yeah, so we have Josh, our head pastry chef. We have Rich and Wilson, who are cooks with us as well, and those guys do a great job. I wouldn't be able to do any of the thing. Malcolm's wouldn't be able to do any of the stuff we are able to do without those guys really putting in the work as well. So it's great, and it's an open kitchen, so we're all there. And we have a chef's counter, so they can sit right at the counter and kind of talk to us. And we get to interact with the guests. We'll take food out to the tables to kind of just explain and have conversation and just make them feel more a part of, you know.
And, of course, last year, sitting right here, we had Nate, the main man, sitting in.
Yep, Nate, the owner, he's great. He allows us to really showcase the farm's product and do what we believe in and put out product that, you know, the area should be proud of.
Again, Malcolm's in Schenectady, the address?
617 Union Street.
617 Union, Wednesday through Sunday.
Wednesday through Sunday.
And you saw some of the dishes there. There's a website. People can pull up the menu there as well.
You can make reservations on the website as well.
It's a super easy
process.
Very good. Justin, we appreciate the visit. Certainly, as they say, that's right in my wheelhouse. I will have to make a trip down. The pasta looked good. I'll start with a little squash. Move on to the pasta.
Yeah, yeah.
And pasta gets, how about desserts?
Fresh. Desserts are great. Josh makes them every week. He makes fresh desserts. We just did a chocolate and raspberry tart that's gluten-free.
Again,
and
right in my wheelhouse.
Yep.
Wine list?
Yes. Yep. Nate handles the wine list. He does all the cocktails, everything like that, handcrafted cocktails. We make our own simple syrups, our own juices, everything.
Sounds good. Justin, really appreciate the visit. And again, I'll tell people to swing by Malcolm's down in Schenectady. Or again, visit the website and check out the menu. But as I say, appreciate the visit. Good luck during the season.
Thank you. Look forward to seeing you.
Justin Feliciano from Malcolm's. Again, we appreciate their sponsorship. And tout swinging on down to enjoy dinner down at Malcolm's. Or brunch, lunch some days as well. Down in Schenectady. All right, thanks to Justin. Thanks to Teresa Gennaro. Thanks also to Sean Clancy. And again, it was nice to pull up the replay from last year. Rick Violette, again, going to be appropriate to remember him in the second race today with the stakes race named after him. All of that on today's Racing Across America. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you enjoy racing and wagering this afternoon here at the racetrack or at Capital OTB. We went over some of the events earlier. Let me just hit a couple of the ones that are right around the corner. First prize wheel day at the Clubhouse Racebook today, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Tomorrow, the Alive for Five online contest. Check that out under the promotion section at the website. This is a lot of fun. It's brand new, $10 entry fee. You have five horses in the first leg, four in the second, three in the third, two in the fourth and one in the last leg, and whoever is alive the longest, that single person or that group split the prize pool. So it should be a lot of fun. That's tomorrow. We kick off Alive for Five. Check out the website for more information. All right, going to wrap up this Wednesday edition of Racing Across America. Seth Merrill live from Saratoga. Enjoy the races this afternoon. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning.
You've been watching Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America has been brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier online wagering site in New York State. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit leahcars.com. Leah Cars for life. Woodbine Racetrack. Pick, bet, and cheer on world-class horse racing north of the border. And the new Capital OTB mobile app. Wager anytime, anywhere. Download it free from the iTunes Store or Google Play.